I'm very happy now to welcome Rulon Tangen. She is the choreographer and director of Dancing Earth, Indigenous Contemporary Dance Creations. And we have three dancers with us, Amy Vicente, Saracena Littlebird, and Edgar Soto Garcia. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So you are doing a performance this weekend, Sunday, the 31st of January, at the National Dance Institute, and then next weekend at Albuquerque, Saturday and Sunday, the 6th and 7th of February, at VSA North 4th Art Center in Albuquerque. So, Rulon, let's start with you. This is, Dancing Earth, Indigenous Contemporary Dance. How did you evolve your way of dancing and choreographing?
Well, I had started out as a professional ballet dancer at age 16 in New York, and then got involved in modern dance. And in the summer times, I'd hit the powwow trail, and I'd be all over the country doing Northern Plains women's traditional dance in a heavy buckskin dress. And I loved all those forms, but there was so much richness to our native culture, and also the native cultures that I experienced out there on the powwow trail. And I wanted to express more. There's so much that's in my traditional dance. It's sort of like the heartbeat of the earth, just very the essence. But there were all these wonderful nuances of philosophy and aesthetics that I wanted to see if it could transfer into a theatrical form with all the background that I had, understanding the dimensions of a stage and lighting and the full physicality. Like when you see the guys in our company, when they're portraying ancestors, they could be upside down on their hands and walking on their hands, sort of like what inhabits our dreamscape as Native peoples. So I had it in my mind for a long time. I was cautious about it for a long time. I wasn't sure if it was respectful of traditions, so I had to do those investigations, make some mistakes, try again, and recruit the dancers. Like Sina here, I when I moved to Santa Fe 12 years ago, that's when I met her. So she was just a young, 12 at the time. So it's taken that long for me to cultivate what started out as a seed probably 20 years ago.
When you were talking about going back to your native forms, you were making hand gestures. This is radio, so people can't see you, but sort of the middle of your body. And I was wondering, in ballet, of course, there's so much upward movement. There's something else going on in the type of dance that you do that is, what, is it more earthy? Is it more earth-centered kind of dance?
I think that's what people might, if they were looking at ballet, they might see it as more upright. And if they're looking at Native traditional dance or our Native dances, like Native traditional dance, you'll see that pulsing of the feet on the ground and the body is often like tilted more towards the ground. And our dances, we're slithering all over the ground, flipping and rolling. So people might see that, but actually in our Native philosophies, there's a lot about us being these channels between earth and sky. So we use the downward force in order to access the upward. And in ballet, we also have to get upright, we also have to push down into the earth to get a really strong grounded line. That's something I learned in ballet, like really good ballet training, is the use of physics, the opposition. And so I find that it also is applicable in our Native dance. But as far as what the audience experiences, it's definitely the people of the earth. I mean, our company's name is Dancing Earth, so that says a lot.
I went to a rehearsal the other day, and it was so interesting for me because I was watching, before I knew what I was watching, people weren't in costume, they were moving around on the ground, and I thought, utterly abstract modern dance. And then you started talking about squash blossom and caterpillar and frog and all these animals, and as soon as you said that, I saw it. But it was interesting for the viewer. You could come at it either from an completely abstract point of view or very much of a biocentric point of view.
I agree. I think it can be read at a lot of different levels. I think people could come at it, if they have a deep cultural understanding, they could read that cultural version. If someone is more like of a spiritual frame of mind, that would be what they'd read into it. If someone just likes movement and beautiful bodies moving and seeing like some of our classic forms recreated, like the for example, a painted pattern on the edge of a pottery dish, you could see that form. And I'm consciously imbuing these movements at all those different levels to allow that kind of, for anyone to come off the street from anywhere and be able to be welcomed in on some level.
Where are you actually from? What is your own cultural tradition?
I'm a mixed person. I was actually born in England because my mom was backpacking around in the 60s, and that was the place to have a baby for free. So, because people are like, well, but where are you born? Where are you from? And she was from nomadic peoples of San Francisco. My dad's from nomadic peoples of Canada. And there's a lot of other countries and cultures mixed in with that. So actually, the official terminology from Canada would be Métis for the tribal background.
Edgar, you come from, do you come from a breakdancing tradition?
Breakdancing, yes, is how I got influenced into dance.
Tell us about how you got into dancing, starting with breakdancing.
Well, to be honest, I actually had to be my sister. She was the oldest sibling out of four, and she came home, and she used to practice pop locking and stuff like that, you know, not necessarily the breakdancing forms of which you see that's more physically masculine. I was just into, like, different art. I was just an art person. I started doing drawing, and when she started dancing, I was like, what are you doing? And then she just kind of informed me of the hip-hop culture and where it came from. It's the four elements in hip hop, which is DJing, break dancing, graffiti art, and the master of ceremony, which is the rapper. I like to dance. I used to always dance, and she took me out to one of the competitions of what your friends do. And when I saw that, I was just immediately amazed, and I just definitely wanted to be one of those guys on stage and dance like that.
And the rest is history. Well, where were you living at that time?
Phoenix, Arizona.
And so you ended up, I know one of the things you did is you danced with Baryshnikov.
It basically started when I was 15, when I started breakdancing. When I got into high school, that's when I started getting into dance class. We started breakdancing in the gym. People kicked us out because we're not supposed to be there during lunch hours. And then one of the dance choreographers was like, hey, why don't you start a class up? And that was the first time that it had ever happened, where breakdancing ever started in a high school.
Hang on one second.
Yeah. Yes, one of the dancer instructors at my high school noticed us breakdancing and getting kicked out. Well, she thought that we would if we should make a breakdancing class, and if you would do it in dance credit, as a dance credit. So we did, and that revolutionized a lot of the dancing inside of our school, and we actually added a different culture into dance besides modern and tap, jazz, and ballet. And from there, we started getting like benefits like scholarships for gymnastics, and then we started meeting different choreographers from different schools, and then that's where it led to Baryshnikov. The choreographers wanted to place us for our movement, with also taking ballet, tap, jazz. So I took that during high school. So I had that training. So I was kind of well-rounded. And so then that's where I got hooked up with the Baryshnikov at the White Oak Project, the ASU public events. Lisa Chow was the one that recommended me.
So what was that like?
It was amazing. I heard of Baryshnikov. He was just like an amazing ballet dancer. And I was like, I heard he was the best or whatever. Could do like 18 pirouettes or whatever. And then so I was like, okay. But then he was like older, and he was on stage, and his company was just immense. Because I thought it was going to be just like regular boring ballet, which is, I like ballet, but, you know, I like more crazy movements. And they used chairs, and I was like, that's cool. But yet, whenever he came out as a soloist. And he just does his own thing. There's just one spotlight on him, and he was just with his shirt off with tights, like, and not even doing anything really, just moving his hands, just the simple formations, and then boom, he just bust pirouettes. We're like, whoa, you know, just it was cool. I really enjoyed the way he presented himself.
So what happened then? How did you get involved with Rulon?
Well, you're saying that how it was amazing how, like, at the end of the whole show, we did a whole half circle, and we all performed, did our own little thing. Well, Baryshnikov came up to me personally. He's like, I really like your dance. You're really good. And I was like, thank you. And I was like, and then we have a big photo of all of us and whatever. And then it was just amazing. It was an awesome experience.
And so then where'd you go from there?
From there, I decided to, you know, I loved to dance, but, you know, it didn't necessarily pay for much. So I was thinking of just things of like, some other, I just decided to go to college. So I went to college, didn't really work out. I mean, I loved it, passed everything, I hated it. And I ended up taking a trade school for web design, didn't like that. So my friend, he was a fashion designer, he got into hair. I really liked hair, it was cool, it was an art form, it was a like sort of thing that I liked. I like keeping my image cool or whatever. So the environment struck me, I was like, I like this. And then I went to a salon to get my haircuts, and I said, I think I should go to trade school to be a hairstylist. So I went to hair school, became a hairstylist. I've been doing that for 8 years now. And the way I met Rulon is actually I disarrayed a little bit from the dance scene, and I started doing hair. And I was called by one of my friends that I was really close in, my really cool dance, break dancing crew that I actually formed called Sour Patch, which has a lot of really, really amazing artists, like photographers, musicians, actors that are like in Twilight, and hairstylists. So it was just different form. And that's how I met Rulon. They asked me to do their hair, they had bald heads, but I would etch like potteries and lines and different native stuff in their heads. And I was like, whoa, that's cool. And I started seeing her dance, and I was like, how'd you guys get involved? Who is this person? Like, how would you guys get involved in this? Because there were breakdancers like me, right? But this is a different form of dance. It was a native contemporary dance. I've never done it. I've never seen it. I was like, I want to do it. And that's how I asked Rulon if I can be in her dance company. I kind of just tried out, and she said, cool, you're in. I was like, yes.
What really happened is you came in, you had to learn the repertoire in one day.
That's right.
And when you were able to do that, I was like, yeah, we can keep him.
She said, try out, you know, and I was like, I tried out, and I guess that was my tryout, and she liked it. So
to be honest, we'd heard about him a lot. I'm one of the few dance companies that has tons of men. It's all this break dancing, mostly from the Sour Patch crew, but now, far beyond. And when I had met them, they kept on talking about this guy, Edgar, that they used to dance with. And Edgar was the innovator, and Edgar was the first one to try ballet. And Edgar, Edgar, Edgar. So I'm like, I want to see this Edgar.
So, Amy, you are Navajo, and you also do Middle Eastern dance.
Yes. I was raised up in Fort Collins, Colorado, by very academic parents. And so while I was imbued with all these militant views...
Militant what kind?
There's no way that Columbus was trying to prove that the world was round, so I was the only kid in my little public school who knew this while everybody's celebrating Columbus Day. And
they're more like the Amesters, right?
Yeah. So a lot of John Trudell in the house.
Yeah.
And all kinds of stuff that, it's so heavy on the shoulders of a little 8-year-old girl.
So 8-year-old representative of the American Indian Movement in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Right.
Okay.
And so I was never involved with my mother and father's culture until I went back to Utah for summers, and didn't really have a powwow tradition of... And so my first dance began with ballet, which I loved, serious at 4, just loved. It felt like work, good solid work. And through moving around, I lost the ability, because I can't drive myself and I can't pay for my own classes, the ability to continue with dance, and so it broke off. And I gained a certain knowledge of fantasy play in the body by being out at my grandmother's in Utah, and wherever I was, I'm a little bit of a ham. And I found Middle Eastern dance again in Santa Fe when I was about 22, with this woman named Mira Crean, who runs Pomegranate Dance Studios. And she's a wonderful beginning Middle Eastern dance teacher, and it was under her that I discovered that I had the opportunity again to be a dance performer when, in the contemporary view, it's like you do ballet until a certain age and then you're done. And if you didn't do that, well, you missed the boat, And I was thinking like, oh, maybe next lifetime I can be an East Indian, do Odissi or Bharatanatyam, because I just loved it. Every dance that crossed my path, I needed more. So I took what I could get and started doing the Middle Eastern dance quite a bit, and kind of skewed it to fit my myself. And after leaving the company, the Middle Eastern Dance Company, I went and deconstructed what I had learned and then put back together what I felt was the beginning of my own knowledge. And then about 2 years after that, very recently, this past October, November, it was actually, it's kind of serendipitous and totally descriptive of Santa Fe. I had this dream that I might be able to dance and tour. So scary that I wouldn't even say it out loud or admit to myself that I wanted that. And I started saying that, I want to tour and dance. I'm going to tour and dance. And a mutual friend of Rulan's that I dance in African dance classes with hooked us up, and we just started talking, and she was very gracious and invited me into this whole endeavor, and I've just been having the best time ever.
Now, Saracena Little Bird unfortunately had to leave before we got a chance to have a conversation with her.
Sina, I think she was doing ballet and modern when I first met her as a young child, and now she's got a degree from Columbia University in environmental biology, and we might be the only dance production, or the production we're doing for this year might be the only dance production I know of that combines both those skills, because she had a minor in dance and a major in environmental biology.
Does her knowledge of biology come into the performance?
Well, the title of our piece is Of Bodies of Elements, and it's a full-length work in which we're exploring a native perspective on ecology. So I think it does inform. We have this whole map of what the dancer's process is and our understanding that we bring to it and our cultural background, all the things that we know, and that evolves our movement. But dance is not a documentary. It's not a news article. So you're not necessarily getting that impact, but you're getting it on a visceral level. And in that way, it speaks in a way that words cannot. So that's part of what we're trying to promote is dance that's made to be a functional ritual, not just entertainment, but something that actually is relevant to our communities and our earth right now, which is what our traditional dances always have been. But nowadays with theatrical dance, we're always like, oh, there's not enough people coming to shows, or there's not enough support for dance. So I turn around and I look at it, it's like, well, what is dance doing for the world at large, for our communities, you know, that are suffering and impoverished and, you know, oppressed, and looking at how dance can speak to those messages.
You're using a soundtrack that has nature sounds in it and synthesized sounds and all kinds of things. We'll hear a little bit of it in a moment, but tell us a little bit about how you developed the music.
Okay, well, the sounds that you're going to hear are actually composed by Quetzal Guerrero. And he's a violinist, composer, vocalist, guitarist, and just as one man, he can put together a lot of sound. So he's one of the composers we're working with, and he can work with us very well because he was one of our dancers even up until our last show. But he's touring right now with his music, so he can't join this one. And he was part of the Sour Patch crew, great friend of Edgar's, and really, you know, he's also a painter. He's really wonderful. So I think the songs that we're listening to on the backtracks are, I think they were both composed for this particular show. I can't remember. Sometimes I listen to the music for so many years till it's like going through my veins, and I can't remember like when did I start with that one. But I think these are the ones that he composed for this performance.
And you were doing a residency with the Santa Fe Art Institute.
Yes, they were so gracious because we had gotten a very prestigious grant that is only given to the top dance companies in the nation. And it covers like, you know, a third to a half of our costs. And so usually they'd say, well, you'll easily get matching grants with, you know, this prestigious grant. But this is 2009 and there's no matching grants. I mean, there wasn't a dollar that people could give. But I wasn't prepared to, like, give the money back. I said, we're going to do this production. So starting with the Santa Fe Art Institute, they offered us dorms so that we could bring in these top dancers from from all around the nation. I've been recruiting these dancers for 10 years, New York, Washington, D.C., Arizona, California, New Mexico, bringing the best together. And, you know, the housing alone is almost
it's almost a third
of our budget. My goodness. So without them, we couldn't have done it. And then Diane Karp, who's, you know, the visionary, hardworking woman that she is, she called all these other organizations. She helped get the studio space at College of Santa Fe. And then through my own contacts that I've made in this community over the last decade, all these wonderful partners, like, you know, very prestigious organizations in Santa Fe, that SWIA Org, Institute of American Indian Arts, Moving People's Santa Fe Dance Festival, National Dance Institute, all the people that are on the flyer, they gave what they could. They said, hey, we don't have any money, but we have a graphic designer. We don't have money, but we can give you the theater at a discount and, you know, to support this historical event. So I'm really proud because it shows that even in these economically challenging times, dance is important enough, and our, you know, indigenous dance, native dance is important enough for people to step forward and help us out.
Oh, it's going to be such a good show.
Yeah, an incredibly, I mean, I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, an incredibly talented group of dancers. Dancing Earth, Indigenous Contemporary Dance Creations, Rulan Tangen is the choreographer, and we've been speaking with Amy Bacenti and Edgar Soto Garcia, and unfortunately we didn't get to hear from Sarasina Littlebird because she had to leave, but the performance is on Sunday, the 31st of January, at 7 o'clock at the National Dance Institute here in Santa Fe, and then the following weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the VSA North 4th Art Center at 4909 4th Street Northwest in Albuquerque. That's Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2 in the afternoon. And for more information, people can call.
I think you should go to the website, the dancingearth.org website.
Dancingearth.org.
Yeah.
And you can also get your tickets at Kix, and that's on Cerrillos Road, or you can just buy your tickets at the door. Thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.